Welcome, everybody, to another episode of 8-Bits, the show where we interview the people behind the tech to learn more about their journey. I'm your host, Brandon Minnick, and as always, joined by my amazing co-host, PJ Metz. PJ, how's your week?
It's good. Oh, this has been a good week. First off, it's been a while since we've been on, huh? It's been a hot minute.
Yeah, for those following the show, if you follow the live streams, you'll know it's been a while since we've done a live stream, almost a month and a half, and that's because we switched. We got a little burnout, so we moved to 2 episodes a month, and sometimes we'll stack those up. So the podcast will release the middle and the end of each month, and as guests are available, we'll interview them and do it live. But yeah, we haven't hung out since mid-February, I think, was when we did Maddie's interview, the last one. But good to see you again.
Yeah, I feel like a lot.
Feels like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, I'm an annual pass holder for Universal Studios now. That's a big change in my life, and I'd just like you all to be very happy for me. It's funny, my buddy and I, who have lived in Orlando our whole lives, we have annual passes for Disney, and that's always been a thing I had. But he got one for Universal. He was like, hey, you should get one. I was like, oh, what am I going to do with two? When will I have the time? I don't know. And a roller coaster came out, I want to say, last year called the Velocicoaster. It's a Jurassic Park roller coaster, and it's really fast, and I've seen ads for it. And I've been going to Universal's website and, like, clicking buy a ticket and waiting and then... No, I'm not doing it. So all of my targeted ads are Universal Studios. And it wore on me. And eventually I was like, all right, I'm doing it. And I went and I rolled the roller coaster and I screamed the whole time. It was terrifying. It was amazing. I love it. It's a good roller coaster. And like, ooh, I'm finally a 2-park annual pass holder.
You heard it here, folks. Targeted ads work.
That's right.
Why we all love them.
Yeah, everyone loves a good targeted ad. Have you seen that commercial from Facebook that's like, targeted ads are helpful, look at how good it is for you? And I was like, that's a hard sell there, Facebook.
I mean, I will say the hat I'm wearing right now, I wish I remembered who made it. I'd give him a shout out because I love him, but also a targeted ad. It was showed up on my Instagram feed and it was like, check out this amazing hat that is waterproof and sweatproof. And I was like, that's exactly what I'm looking for. How did you know?
But you know exactly what I need.
They know. They know me better than I know myself. And
that's right. That's right. I do want to admit something right now. I'm currently panicking because the way I moved the window that our restream is in, I can't grab it and move it anywhere. And it's like the wrong size. So I can't click anything right now. Oh, no. Technology, what have you done to me?
So, for everybody listening, PJ also produces the show live while we air the show.
the address bar is right up at the top, and it's hidden under the toolbar for my Mac. It's like, I can do this. I believe in myself. Hold on. You guys are gonna, you're gonna hear it later. Man. It's just me struggling.
Jellyman in the comments said to hit F11.
F11?
And then you might be able to grab it.
Hold on, that muted me. Hold on.
You're on a Mac. Do you even have F11s?
It's there. I just have to... FN so, might do it.
So while PJ is checking that out, I've got...
It worked!
Fun
I got
to
it!
Share. Oh! We did it!
Folks, this is a professional show.
And we both work in tech. I will say, quick sidebar, for especially parents are the usual culprits of this, but they just assume that, like, oh, you work in tech, like, you're good with computers, and you are better, you can fix my computer. And, I mean, probably, but... We're just kind of figuring it out as we go.
Yeah.
I'd say for me, it's just, I'm not afraid to click that button. Like, what's this button do? Nope. I don't know. Let's find out. And then
refactored it.
sometimes you pay the price for that. But
yeah,
I do have some news I want to share. This is breaking news, like within the last hour. It's not that exciting, but you're probably wondering how we got here. At Microsoft, we've been working on a new tool called .NET MAUI. If you're familiar with Xamarin, MAUI is the next evolution of Xamarin. It's basically where we're bringing in support for iOS, Android into .NET, and then creating a multi-platform application user interface, aka .NET MAUI. So it's a cross-platform way to create iOS apps, Android apps, macOS apps, Windows apps, all in C# and .NET. And what I've been working on for the past, gosh, eight months-ish,
yeah,
long time, is the .NET MAUI Community Toolkit. So it's a completely open source library that is built by you, the community, where we have all these cool, helpful tools that you can use for your .NET MAUI apps. And today, we just launched our docs. So we've been hard at work at this, writing all the code for months now, and also writing the docs. So we just published the docs today. You can see them at docs.microsoft.com/.net, spelled .NET, /community toolkit, or click on the link in the show below.
That's right. Can you click it? At the very least, you can copy and paste it. but yeah, in the chat, you'll see it. Click it. Congrats, Brandon. That's exciting to be at the docs and to be able to push that out to the community and to have them finally have that kind of access and help that they need in using this stuff. That's very exciting. Congrats, dude.
It makes it feel very official because the source code's all open source, but we created our own organization on GitHub called Community Toolkit because I'm working on the .NET MAUI Community Toolkit, but there's also a Community Toolkit for WinUI and MVVM and just .NET stuff in general. So there's a bunch of toolkits all made by the community that we put under the Community Toolkit org. But when you do that, you're not in the Microsoft org on GitHub. Mm-hmm. So sometimes people will come along and be like, what is this? And they're like, why should I use it? Is this official Microsoft product? But now we're on the Microsoft docs, so we can say, yeah, here's our documentation on docs.microsoft.com. We've been struggling a little bit with that branding aspect lately, but
yeah,
now we're official.
And that's great.
Still working on the docs, still working on the toolkit. It's all available in preview and should be released in May. So we're getting really close.
Wow. Oh man, that is very close. Oh, May is my 1 year anniversary of getting into tech.
Wow.
We're coming up on almost a year of me having been working in tech. So we'll have a lot to celebrate in May. We'll have to do a special episode or something. A very special episode where we all learn an important lesson, and that lesson is tech. we will figure out the lesson before then, I promise. But in the meantime,
great episodes. We have such a cool guest today. She and I just recently met, but I feel like we're quickly becoming best friends. BJ, let's welcome to the show the program manager for the Azure Static Web Apps at Microsoft, Reshmi. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me here.
So good. That was such a well-earned hi, and then I ruined it. I'm sorry. I'll
do you want to do a retake?
No, it was perfect.
It's okay. We can always do a retake. We can do the retake for a bye, maybe?
That's right. We're gonna make some B-roll here live for everyone. Fantastic. Reshmi, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here. I'm glad I got to meet you. And I know Brandon said that y'all just recently met, but I have even more recently met you. So I'm very excited to have done that and very excited to have you here. Thank you for coming on. To get started, how about you tell the folks at home all about yourself and what you're about?
Sounds great. So quickly starting with the typical welcome that we do in India, because I have been told that I'm the first guest from India. So namaste. So yeah, hi. Hi, I am Reshmi, and I am a program manager with the Static Web Apps team. I will be quickly talking about that as well, just, you know, subtly. But yeah, point being, I am working with Microsoft since the last 10 months, and this has been my first time as a program manager and my first time as a live stream participant. So, woohoo! But yeah, it's been a very fun 10 months for me. And quickly, just rolling back to what PJ said, May is a special month for us as well in Static Web Apps because we are celebrating our 1 year anniversary as well.
Yeah! Listen, apparently May is just the month where great stuff happens in in tech. Just good stuff all and around.
And it's my birthday.
Oh! I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, and now first. We have a lot of reasons to celebrate. So we are going to get treated by Brandon for this, right?
Right. Yeah, Brandon.
Everybody gets cake
for your birthday.
Also, a sweet little birdie kind of, a sweet little birdie kind of gave me a heads up that to be there in the show, I need to have some sort of decorum. So
that's right. We have rules about how we present ourselves. And Reshmi's got the hat on. Yes. Yes!
That's right. We have a strict dress code on this show. Everybody wears a hat.
Tails. a walking stick. Because walking sticks are like what fancy gentlemen use, right? Do you remember when that was a thing? Just fancy gentlemen had to have like a cane and like a walking stick. And then it just fell out of
And a monocle and a pocket watch.
Yeah. Why don't...
Back in the good old 1800s.
What happened? We need to go back. Well,
kids these days.
Maybe not. Yeah, kids these days don't wear monocles. Reshmi, honestly,
you never know.
I can't believe you put a hat on. I never realized until just now that Brandon and I are always wearing hats. I knew I'm a hat person, but that's because I'm my hair is thinning up top and I'm embarrassed. So I wear hats all the time. Also, it's another way to show my personality, but I never would have been like, yeah, that's the show where the guys wear hats until just now.
Now you have a new trademark.
There it is.
Yeah, actually, that'd be a great logo. The hat.
Just a hat. We can get good hats made that have merch a little hats. Hat with a very tiny 8-bits logo on it. So it's hat
seven. Yep. And I would get that's a complimentary amazing. One for having introduced it. Or yeah, made you course. Guys realize it.
27% royalties on the back end for Reshmi. and whatever the remainder is for Brandon. And then I'll just take nothing. I just want to wear the hat. That's all. I'm happy.
Yeah. And to be honest, I just do it totally just because I'm lazy. The show, I'm in the earliest time zone here. So actually, Reshmi and I are on the other side of the world right now, which is incredible to think about. And I know that because when I looked up, she said she'd be joining us from India. I was like, what time will it be there? And it's exactly 12 hours. So we're exactly the other side of the world. So for me, it's early in the morning. Early. We meet up at 9:30 in the morning and we go live at 10. But that's like early for the tech world. And yeah, I'm just lazy. I don't want to do my hair. So I put on a hat.
That works. That works.
I don't have a good story. It's just, okay, well, I could do my hair right now, like, or I could make a cup of coffee. I'm going to make coffee.
Caffeine is a much more important choice. I agree.
Oh, so, Reshmi. love the tangent, but let's bring it all the way back. Because on 8-Bits, we love to learn about your journey in hopes of inspiring others to do the same. And as our first guest joining us from India, I have so many questions, but let's go way back. Let's start with how did you first learn to code? And is that common in India for folks that go into school?
Mm-hmm. That's actually a good question. And now that you speak about it, there's been a lot of change of late in the educational curriculum that has been building by the government. Oh, by the way, if folks are wondering what this is called Mehndi. It's kind of a traditional Indian tattoo, which you kind of have in your hands for some festive occasions. So it's not stained, guys. It's just like wearing off. So never mind.
Yeah, very cool. But, is that similar to henna?
Yeah, it is henna. Yeah, I'm glad do know that.
That's so neat. Is it for a specific festival that just happened?
Yeah, or? It's not any specific festival, but it's kind of a thing in festivals. So I had a couple of family functions in the last week. So all of us, like all my cousins, all my relatives have this in our hand. So it's just wearing off.
That's fun.
That looks great.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Quickly going back to where I started, right? So as a part of the educational curriculum, it has always been emphasized that a student learns all sorts of things, right? Exposure to anything co-curricular, exposure to coding, exposure to the basic math, science, etc., etc. So yeah, definitely my first stop has been coding in Visual Basic, I think. And this is back in my 11th grade. So it's quite a while back. But that was my exposure to coding. And I was like, I don't know what's happening. To be honest, like, I didn't know what was happening. Because it was those days when you had like these super fat monitors. And you had those super slow processors. And I mean, like, it didn't even make sense why we were doing something like that. But usually those labs were our escape to play in MS Paint. Because that was like the only thing you could scoop in and do when the teacher was like looking somewhere else. So that's kind of been the first time with fiddling around codes. But I have always been a fan of playing in and around what facilities are there in Microsoft. Like command prompt, I don't know. Like I have always been obsessed with trying to do something or the other over there. I remember back in my college days, we had created a hotspot using command prompt because the Wi-Fi was not good enough till our rooms. So these are like these tiny bits and things where we actually like get a hands-on on code, but you actually like get a result out of it. So my start was over there in school, but quickly I realized that I did have a kind of attraction for it, definitely compared to studying the number of chromosomes that each organism has. I'm like, you know that Drake meme? It's literally like biology. Oh. Computer science.
That's great, right?
Yeah. So, there's a good remake of that meme with Geordi LaForge from Star Trek instead, where he's like saying no, but then he's making, it's almost the exact same face. And bonus, because Geordi LaForge is fantastic and Star Trek is good. Shout out Star Trek, especially if you're listening. Hi, Adrian.
Sponsored by Star Trek.
That's right. So those big CRT monitors that you mentioned, the old school, because I mean, I've got a lovely, lovely thin flat monitor, right? But they used to be gigantic, massive.
Yep.
And that's where you started. And I love that you brought up MS Paint. I feel like anyone who ever was in grade school or in high school and had to do work in a computer lab, first thing you open is MS Paint. You take the pencil tool and scribble everywhere. And then you grab the paint pan and you just start filling in spaces with random
gaps.
Colors.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I did.
Across the world, we are having the same experience. And I love it, y'all. I love it. This makes me so happy. But you built a hotspot in college because the Wi-Fi, you were like, let's just build our own hotspot.
Yeah. I mean, it was not like we coded it from the scratch. Thanks. Stack Overflow. I mean, like, but yeah, it was definitely handy because the Wi-Fi that we had was so patchy. So technically, like, if you needed it to reach your room, the LAN cables that we had in our school. So being in a government school in India is not a very highly advanced and highly facilitated place to be, if I were to summarize it. But basically, it's like a first come, first serve thing, right? There are like 10 LAN cables and you get your hands on the first LAN cable, well and good. If you don't get it, you have to rely on Wi-Fi. And if you want Wi-Fi, you don't get it in your room. You have to go sit outside in the corridor and get the Wi-Fi. But
no.
Yeah. Why were we computer science students? I mean, this is the time. This is where we...
There's 10 LAN cables. If you get the first one, it's 100 feet, and it goes down from there. The last one is just 4 feet. You got to be right next to the outlet. It's amazing.
So yeah, that's kind of like the inception of where it was. But now in retrospect, when I look back at the whole journey of where I started and where I am right now, I never thought of it until I spoke it out right now. But it feels really great to like do that complete circle. And now I'm back at Microsoft, where I am literally working for a Microsoft product. And I started off my computer exposure with basic Microsoft stuff. So yeah, it feels good to have done that complete circle.
Yeah, and who knows, someday in the future, kids will be in their computer classes learning to code, and instead they'll be building Azure Static Web Apps.
Oh my god, I cannot be more full, happy full about circle. It.
I think that's a very good place to start. I think Static Web Apps are just a great project to start on, because it's a little less daunting than what I started with, which was a full ASP.NET, like, with a database. Thank you, Brandon. I was like, I think I can build a website. And Brandon was like, yeah, man, ASP.NET Core, and it's going to have a database. And I was like, oh, sure, this makes sense. I can do it. I couldn't do it. No, I do remember.
Yeah, because, so PJ and I just started that journey, what was that, 2 years ago. I remember Rashmi, when we were first starting out, I was like, there's a new thing called Azure Static Web Apps. Maybe we can use that. But to be honest, I couldn't figure it out. It was still in preview. It hadn't been
fully released. It was early. Yeah, it was very early in it. And it's before you got there, Rashmi. And...
Now it's amazing.
Now it's great.
This new PM came in about 10 months ago. Everything's been great.
That's right. That's the shoulders all fresh me.
So Rashmi, it sounds like you chose the path to go to college. But if we go back a couple years or a year or two before that, what is it like in India for your typical secondary school student? Do most people choose the path to go to university, or do a lot of folks choose to get a job, start working right away, or do you have technical programs? Fill us in on that and how all that affected your decision.
Mm-hmm. That's actually a very good question. And I think I would consider myself blessed enough to have a very clear route on how I can proceed. But India being a very, like, in the stages of developing country, right? It's still fighting for resources among the population that we have. One thing which the government definitely makes sure is trying to promote education in every form. But unfortunately, education is not a privilege yet. Education is a privilege. It's not a given factor yet for every student, right? So usually in Indian households, if I were to say, it's a very typical, I think it's an Asian household thing, because I've heard it from a few of my Chinese friends as well. But usually your parents already like have a full tree diagram on what their kids are going to do ever since the kid is born. Like, the kid is like 3 months old, he's holding the pencil. Artist, okay, artist is a side job. First, we need to focus on education, right? So let's take them up the education guide. So yeah, it was kind of like already sketched out for me as well. And my parents were really passionate about me going towards an MBBS line, because none of my family members have any sort of doctorate or even PhD for say, right? Everyone has been just like very strictly associated to commerce. Science was not like their cup of tea. So my parents are like, oh, our girl is going to be the first doctor in the family. And guess what? I am almost chromosomes. I don't know what to do.
A doctor. And then you got to biology and you were like, no, that's
me. But yeah, so looking back at the education and how things have been so far. So in general, how it happens is the mentality in India for like working class population is to prioritize on education, to have the basic level of education. But post that, when you kind of like do your 12th, right, when you're done with your junior college, the next step usually is to just go for a job. And now when you go to a job, you do have two options. You either like actually explore all the categories and facets in the job, you learn more, you try new projects, and sometimes it so just so happens that you do not really click in, right? Or you just enter a domain and you realize that this probably is not what you were looking for. It's kind of what happened with me as well. So I, as soon as I completed my undergrad in NIT Calicut, so NIT is National Institute of Technology for the Unknown. It's kind of like the premier institute in India. So basically, doing a computer science degree in NIT is a big thing. You end up in a good company. Yes, totally agree. But where I ended and what I learned was two different paths, right? I started with C++ and then I go scale down to C, and then I go scale down to a language called Scheme. I don't know if you guys have tried that. Scheme. It's kind of like based out of Lisp.
Oh,
yeah, it basically to teach us the basics, ooh, you know, like the fundamentals. So I just like went down all the way to Lisp. And then we went back to C++. And this was my college curriculum. And once I stepped out, I got a job in Deutsche Bank as a software analyst. And guess what? We're working on Java. We're working on Spring Boot. We're working on, I don't know, like so many things. And within like one and a half years, I got exposure to backend. I got exposure to frontend. I worked on React projects. I had my hands on like everything. And I was literally enjoying it, right? You try out something new and you're just like, oh, this is actually not clicking. And then you talk to your manager, and my manager was really supportive. He's like, okay, why don't you try this? And then I jumped to front end. I'm like, oh, this is fun. This is actually something I'm enjoying. But maybe this is also not what I want, right? And then I tried a few things. And then my manager helped me realize that probably what I'm looking for is wanting to stay in the technical domain, but play to my strengths. And my strengths was not exactly coding. But yeah. So, I'm like, how do I make use of what I am good at, but at the same time be able to contribute to the technical sphere, right? And then I kind of like did a sit through analysis with my manager, and we realized maybe what I need is an MBA and a little more exposure to the business side, and see how exactly can I use my technical knowledge and my business knowledge and put it together, right? And that exactly is what happened. I went ahead, did an MBA, and after MBA, I ended up with a program manager role. And now guess what? I have best of both worlds. I am working with coding. I am working with marketing. I am working with strategy and so many things, which actually like keeps me happy and challenging. And it's like every day you actually look forward to tackling something new, maybe like failing. It's just a part of the process, right? You fail, but then the next thing you know, you fail, you get up and you learn a new way to not fail, right?
So that's how I write code.
I just remember seeing a meme just today morning. It was basically a programmer like cheering, looking at the monitor like, yay, finally a new error. That means I am progressing.
A new error! The new error is very exciting. I love that. This idea of being able to try a lot of different things and being able to do that in your career, that sounds really awesome to be like, all right, so I did this back end. It's not really for me. And when I'm doing front end and I'm learning React, I'm like, oh, well, this is a lot more my style and what I enjoy. But even when back end wasn't something you enjoyed, you were able to learn while you were there, and that made you better as you progressed. So that's fantastic. What an amazing, amazing story. That makes me really happy.
Thank you.
And it's funny how, we'll say, at least in the US school system, failing's bad. Like, if you get an F on something, that is terrible. But, like you said, Reshmi, in reality, failing's really good because that means you tried to do something. I mean, you didn't, but that's okay because you learned something. You learned at least one way not to do it. And then taking that lesson that you just learned and then reapplying it is basically life, right? We're all just trying to figure stuff out, and you can't really figure anything out unless you try it first. And sometimes it works on the first try. Sometimes it doesn't. And that's okay. But yeah, in the US at least, you're not really taught that growing up. You're just taught like you got to get straight A's. You got to go to college. And
failing a test is the worst thing. That's what everyone tells you. And that's the impression you get growing up is like, you don't fail. You have to prove that you're good now. And it's like, well, they just taught me about, you know, fractions 2 weeks ago for the first time. How am I supposed to get it already? Failure is a big part of how, and I joked earlier, it's a big part of how I code. But honestly, I just built a, I'm learning Python. I just built a bot that sits in your terminal and just listens for a specific hashtag and returns some information about the tweet that uses the hashtag. I made like 4 versions of it that didn't work before I found a way to take some pieces from all the things that didn't work and combine it to make it work. So it's very exciting to fail. And it's not a joke to say that a new error message is one of the best things that can happen.
It's like best and also kind of deflating. But
yeah,
you know you're making progress. You're just like, oh, yeah. I'm still stuck.
turns out there was another wall behind that wall, but I got the first one down, and that's a big deal.
Ooh, or when you recognize the error message, you go, I know exactly what that means, and I can fix it.
I've made this mistake before.
I got to do that. Speaking of the community toolkit that I mentioned at the top of the show, somebody opened up an issue that I had just literally spent a whole day trying to figure out and how to solve on my new Windows computer. And so as soon as I saw the issue posted, I was like, I know exactly how to solve that. Here's the link. And just in case that one doesn't work, here's another link. And he was like, perfect. And it was only because I had just solved it and gone through that myself. So the experience counts, folks. Yep. Fail away.
So Rashmi, from college, from the NIT in India, you got that job doing back, you said, at Deutsche Bank. You start doing front end. You find yourself now at a job, you said, it brought you full circle back to some Microsoft stuff. So what is it? What is the static site generator at Azure? What is this all about? Tell us about what you're doing at work. Because like, you sound excited about it. Like you even like, I'm going to talk about it. I was like, I want you to talk about it, please.
Totally. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that I am not sabotaging the show because I'm just like, okay, you know, very, very subtle. I'm not promoting anything at all. Wink, wink. But yeah. Quickly just touching up on what I work on, which is actually very exciting. So there's this product called Static Web Apps. So Azure Static Web Apps is a tool with which you can host your static sites. And when I say static, that does not mean that you can have only, you know, static pages like blogs and documentations. It's static because you have a very good segregation of how your websites are hosted. So your static ends are hosted separately and available across the globe. At the same time, your serverless backend is being hosted by Azure Functions. And this split and host is actually helping us give a very good minimal latency to the customers. And because it is located like geographically across the globe, you do not have to worry about the customers having like lags and God knows what all the issues, right? You basically are able to cater to everyone across the world, even if you are an XYZ, just a blog situated out of Europe. And we have a very strong Azure network. We have a very good dependency with all the other applications. We have a tie-up with Azure Functions, which is like our basic backend APIs. We have a good tie-up with all the database related. And we do have a lot of features coming up over there as well. I'll quickly jump to that soon. We have CDN. We have managed Azure CDN in our end. So now if you are like globally located and maybe like 10 points, you can amplify it to 100 different points and reduce the latency even more. And everything in Azure, right? The Azure atmosphere has a very good tie-up. So you can just like make your application stronger and stronger. And the best part about our application, you do have a free SKU. So you do not have to pay to try it out for the first time. So I would highly encourage to go try out your websites, go try build anything. We have a lot of tutorials as well. And you would also see a lot of good videos to catch up on. And basically, every framework that you want, any kind of website that you want, you can build it, you can try it for yourself. And I'm really excited about the features that are coming forward to, especially during the 1 year anniversary. So both PJ and Brandon, I would love for you guys also to do your hands on over there and let me know how the experience was.
Try it, because we couldn't before.
it's funny to me because so my background's in mobile. I've been making iOS and Android apps for years now and haven't really, well, I'll say, I'll put this in air quotes, teaching PJ how to build a website was the first time I built a website. And so, yeah, when I first heard of Azure Static Web Apps, you know, as a Microsoft employee, you hear rumors swirling when new products are being worked on. My first thought was, what does that even mean? Like static, like static electricity. And then once I figured out static just means it doesn't really change. It's not really necessarily interactive. I started realizing most websites are static, like 8bits.tv, the website for this show is a static website. It's where we post all of our content. You can watch all of our videos, read the transcripts, listen to the podcasts. That would be a static website. Heck, even like CNN.com, where they post the news. Like, that's a static website. And I started to realize, like, probably most websites can use Azure Static Web Apps. Is that accurate? Am I close?
You are more than close. You're pretty much hitting the hammer exactly on the nail, right? This kind of misconception that people have that having a site static is probably going to be just HTML content is not the product that we are catering to, right? We are a Jamstack product. And when you talk of Jamstack, the abbreviation for JAM is basically JavaScript, API, and markup. So we do have a very powerful tool which combines all three of them. So basically, like, I'm probably not very good with the exact number, but I could say like more than 60% of the websites that are hosted right now are a good category for static websites. The reason being, a lot of the content that we already host on our websites, right? Like any sort of landing page for a company or any sort of blog, any sort of, even like you mentioned, right? Even if CNN, right? You need to refresh the news, yes. But ultimately, it's kind of like a static page which is being loaded for everyone. You click on a link and you can call it with an API. But why do you need to have like a very heavy loaded website just to try host it? No, you can just break it down very cool, very simple, and be able to do it in a cheaper cost, be able to have a better latency, be able to have more availability, be able to access so many additional features that we have, like CDN, free TLS certificates, and I don't know, like so many of them. I can't even like count it on my fingers right now. But yeah, this is pretty much what we have in Azure Static Web Apps. And yeah, I would love for each one of you who is there in the call as well to try it out. And please do let us know on how the experience has been.
Yeah, I really recommend people do static websites. It's a great way to just get practice in. And just like Reshmi said, when she was at school and had to build her own hotspot, that experience of creating it, there was something you said where it was like, and that's where I did a lot of learning. And listen, outside of your classroom, whether it's a boot camp, whether it's self-taught, whether it's a traditional education system, outside of that, when you start to do things on your own and have to figure it out without a teacher there or a professor to give you the answer, that's where you really learn a lot. And that people call it the real world, but I don't agree with that. But like outside of education, that's where things really start to make sense for you as a learner, you know? Speaking of learning, I think it's time to learn about some advertisements that we have. Here's a commercial that we're going to cut to. This has been a good intro to the commercial.
Hi, if you're hearing my voice, that means you've been listening to or watching 8bits with Brandon and PJ. And we're here to talk to you about your product and how it can help you in your life by...
Do whatever your product does.
So if you're an avid listener of the show, or you watch us on Twitch, then you'll know that
your product
is right for you.
That's right. If you are interested in sponsoring us, you can reach us via email at hello@8bits.tv. We're always looking for somebody to help because this stuff costs money. We love doing it and we're happy to do it, but we do have to pay. We should probably get on Azure Static web apps in the future.
Probably.
We're paying $200 a year for our website.
But yeah, this definitely sounds like a good tryout for you. You could maybe like give it a shot and see how it works. And I would love to hear all about your journey and your experience.
Absolutely. So Reshmi, on the show, we always try to inspire folks to get into tech. And like we've discussed, it's sometimes not the easiest thing to do because I don't know, maybe I'm not good at math, or maybe I never learned to code. What advice would you give to somebody who is looking to get their first job in tech?
That's, again, a very good question. And I am sure that a lot of things that I'm probably going to say right now are pretty much in and around what everyone has used in their life. And a few of them we have already like very subtly touched on as well in the previous discussions. But most of my tips for anyone who is joining new for tech is not specifically to tech. It's more about how you exactly go about the new challenge that you have. So the first one that I would probably say is it does not really matter if you're going slow, right? It's about progress. And what matters really is you actually put in that little extra effort every day and be consistent. Keep trying to push harder. You might think, you know, that you already gave your 100% on a single day and you have been trying and the same error is coming 5 times and you're probably like, this is not my cup of tea. This is not working. But I would suggest like when that's the case, you probably like tweak a bit, try a bit, make that 100%, 110% and try look for that new error message that could probably at least tell you that now this is something different. This is something where I definitely know that now I do not have to fail in this way as well, right? So consistency is the key. You need to make sure that you keep trying and you keep doing a bit every day so that you can go towards what you want to achieve. So that would be my first one. The second one definitely is about making your basics strong. So if you want to enter in tech, what they look for in general is not about all the languages and frameworks that you know, but it's more about how well are you with the basics? Like how good are you with data structures and algorithms? How good are you with like the pseudo logic? If you have a question, how well can you picture on how do you solve it? So being able to understand the logic is more important than putting it out in a language. Languages are just like, they're literally siblings, right? You know, yeah, how to do C++, you are going to learn how to do Python. It's not going to be hard. So do not fret over what sort of languages and frameworks you know. That's something you can just pick up on the go. But focus more on building your foundation strong. And once you build your foundation strong, you are like definitely towards the right direction of succeeding. The third tip, yeah, I actually have made a list. So I'm probably like, my eyes are just switching there because these are the lessons which I really hope like someone told me long back when I was starting my career new. But I really hope this reaches the right audience so that they know what they should be doing. The third thing that I would say is, being yourself, right? Any sort of situation that you have, there are like interviews where you probably will be given a challenging question and you would be under the pressure of actually wanting to answer something, but you actually do not know what to answer, or there would be something where you are disagreeing with the interviewer, but you do not want to disagree with them for the sake of not looking rude or whatever. I would say, just be yourself, right? Be yourself and be able to actually put across what you are. And that exactly gives the person the idea that you're being genuine. being genuine really helps, because later on in future, you're not in a situation where they'd be like, oh, you know, Reshmi, yeah, she knows how to fix these codes, right? But actually what you did was just Stack Overflow.
It's really important to know how to find the answer, because no one automatically has the answer for everything. So more important than I know it off the top of my head is I know where to go to find the answer, because that gives you a pathway towards so much more that you can do. I talked about this in Confusion is the Sweat of Learning, a talk I gave back in October of 2020. It was all about how you're going to be confused, you're going to get lost, but knowing what the very next step to take is usually the most valuable thing. Because if you don't know where to put your foot next, you don't know what direction to go. So being stuck is one thing, but to get out of being stuck, it's about knowing what, not what the end result needs to be, what the very next thing to do is. And sometimes that's typing in stackoverflow.com and going there and finding what it is. And that could be hugely valuable. Every developer knows it. It's not a secret that we are looking stuff up all the time. Every day. I can't tell you how many times. Every day I have to go, okay, how do I make a new branch in Git? And I'm like, Git new branch. And then I'm like, okay, got it. And then I'll get it memorized eventually. But right now?
I've even started, because you can, I forget what Stack Overflow calls me, their favorites or bookmarks. You can basically like flag an answer that, and I've done this for answers that I've had to go back, and like Google keeps taking me back to the same answer. And so, I just end up bookmarking in Stack Overflow because I know I'm coming back.
Yep.
But especially like those Git commands, like just, you don't use every Git command every day, so.
Right. I know very few people who can rebase on their own.
But to quickly add on to PJ's point, there's like a little bit of disagreement over here. I just use my own point, by the way, about disagreeing. But yeah, there's a little bit of disagreement that I have with what PJ said about knowing that what your next step is. While it is good that you know what your next step is, that's kind of like not necessary, because I would say, like in my life, for suppose, I did not know what I wanted to do when I knew that that was not my cup of tea, right? So it's never going to be bad to actually try out multiple things, to actually like step on multiple boats and try and see what exactly fits. You know, even Cinderella Sprints did that, right? He tried the shoe on like so many other women as well before he reached. But yeah, amazing. That's the point. I just like broke in between. Brandon, were you saying something?
No, that's amazing. And okay, I think you're absolutely right. That's a perfect disagreement with what I said. It's not just saying, well, I'm going this way now. It's, well, I'm trying this and I'm going to see what it's like. So that's fantastic. Yeah. I love that you said that. Thank you. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's about going, right? It's about not staying stagnant where you are and staying stuck. You're actually like going, trying something new, maybe failing, and then exploring something new. But the key is to keep going, to keep trying towards reaching your goal rather than just waiting for an external help or just giving up wherever you're stuck. That's not going to help. And the final tip that I have, which I've been stating since the start, is please do not be scared to fail. Failing is the biggest lesson that you can have. Failing might give you a moment of dissatisfaction, but it's going to give you a lifetime of happiness, knowing that it's something that you don't have to revisit again, because now you know that's going to get you to failing, right? At least you have like 10 branches in front of you. Now you know you do not have to take that branch. You have to take a bunch of other 9 branches, right? So please do not be scared of failing. Please do not like stop wanting to try something just because it's going to be scary and you have a risk of failing. But try it out, live it for the experience, learn the journey, enjoy the process rather than focusing totally on what the outcome is. Outcome is just going to come when you reach there. You need to focus on making sure that you're actually learning all the way while you're reaching the outcome, right? So yeah, it's a lot of, in Hindi, we say gyan, so it's basically like a lot of knowledge dump, but It's kind of like things which I wish someone told me long back, and now I would just like want to share it with the others as well.
Yeah, and I love what you said about embracing the process and enjoying the process, because there's been a lot of times in my life where I thought the goal, I thought the end goal was when I'll finally have made it and I'll feel accomplished or I'll feel smart or happy, proud, whatever emotion you want to insert here. And when I hit the goal, you kind of look around and you're like, oh, that was it. Oh, well, I just spent, 8 months working on this, and okay, guess we hit our goal now. But if everything in life is around the end goal, you're going to kind of end up just being disappointed. Like, you kind of have to enjoy, embrace the process and make that what you enjoy about doing things, because once that goal passes, then it's gone, it's over. But if you can enjoy it while you're getting there, then you get to kind of enjoy that goal for longer and get to bring it with you along the way.
Totally. Yeah.
I love that. I really think that there's a almost a disconnect for people, because a lot of times we think of goals as the thing to accomplish, right? But goals are always in the future. And when it arrives, it's the present. But you spent so much time focusing on what's coming that when it's actually here, what are you focusing on here? Or are you still looking to the future? You know, so be present now, because that's where you're going to spend most of your time, is on your way to something. So I think that's you're exactly right, Brandon. Exactly right.
Thanks. And so, go ahead, Rashmi, please.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I wanted to bring up, because we're so thankful for having you on the show, and we're down to the last 5-6 minutes, and I want to make sure we promote everything you want to promote. And before the show, you mentioned hashtag 100 devs, 100 days of code challenge. Tell us more about that.
Yep. It's basically, that's exactly why I kind of like interrupted a couple of seconds before, but it's an open source. It's this guy called Leon Noel. He kind of is leading this 100 days of code challenge. He has done this previously during lockdown, and he's helping on his bit to try educate people with the kind of knowledge that is kind of needed to get into a tech role. But I have like no connection whatsoever, but I would really love if people do try it out, especially for the ones who want to like enter the tech sphere. So basically, just try follow the channel. There are a few challenges which you have to do every week. There are a few lecture videos which you have to attend. But basically, throughout the course, throughout the process, you're going to be learning how exactly do you think like a coder, how exactly do you put yourself in that shoes and be able to get into the tech world that you wanted to crack. So just a small shout out to the open source platform there.
Yeah, I love it. This looks very impressive. In the opening paragraph on the website, it says that he ran a fully free remote coding bootcamp that helped 72 people get software engineering jobs. And those 72 people saw their salary increase on average by $53,000.
$1,000, yeah.
Which, can I interject? That's more than I made as a teacher, and one of the reasons I got into tech. So, like, yes, go get it, y'all. Go get that bag.
But yeah, it's going to be a fun journey, and again, it's going to be challenging. But hey, that's life, right?
Mm-hmm. Embrace the challenge.
And Rashmi, we just had a comment from Soft Taco Raider asking if Learn with Leon, if this Twitch channel is the same Learn with Leon.
Yes. Awesome. Yes, it is.
So that's twitch.tv/learnwithleon, LearnWithLeon. That it sounds like he must do a lot of live coding on Twitch too. Amazing.
Yep.
We love live coders, don't we, Brandon?
That's right. That's our origin story,
That's our origin story.
Yeah, Rashmi, when PJ
thank you thank you so much for, first off, all of that advice you just gave. Thank you for giving people listening another way to expand their skills. Brandon, we're getting close on time. I think it might be time for the final piece of advice, because this last 50 minutes has been all solid, really good advice. But we gotta ask, what's one more thing that you wish you could tell yourself when you were getting started that you think other people need to hear? Rush me.
Oh,
I was like, okay, Brandon.
I thought it was.
That was my mistake. As a host, I was like, Brandon, yada, yada, yada. And did not indicate.
I'm like, this maybe I have I'm to not, be the spectator over here.
No, this is why I'm not a late night TV host, because I'm a terrible host. But no, Rashmi, final piece of advice, the last thing you would tell people.
It's a very tricky position you have put me in, because I actually had a list which I read out. But the one piece of advice which I very personally make sure that it sticks to me throughout my experience so far is always embrace learning, right? It's kind of that whole growth mindset. So you do not have to be the person who knows everything. There's no one who knows everything. You need to be accepting of the fact that there are more things where you can learn and where you can improve, where you can explore. There are like so many facets which you haven't considered, right? Make sure that learning is what is integral to you as a person, and it's going to help you throughout your life journey. And yeah, I think that was like my two cents. But yes, please try static web apps. That is like my side tip. PS.
That too.
Yep. Thank you so much for having me, you guys. And I am super pumped about everything that happened in the last 1 hour. To be honest, like it's kind of like my bedtime, but I have so much energy. I don't know what to do right now.
Yeah, and thank you for joining us. I love this conversation. For people who want to stay in touch, where can they find you?
You can definitely catch up with me on Twitter. So my handle goes @ReshSriram. That is Resh Sriram. So I am definitely available on Twitter over there. But otherwise, you can feel free to reach out to me on email. I am a little confused where else you actually reach out. So I have been on an Instagram break for almost a year. So maybe not there. But, but you can reach out to me whenever. I will be back. I can definitely get back. But yeah, feel free to drop out a message to Brandon and PJ. Maybe they can connect me to you guys. But I would love to hear from all of you. And I really hope that we do have quite a few people who are inspired to try out new things and try out anything tech, getting more into this world. And yes, once again, thank you so much for having me in the show.
Awesome. Rashmi, thank you so much for being here. This has been 8Bits. You can follow us on Twitch at Metzen Around. You can follow us on YouTube at 8Bits. Please subscribe so you always get the latest stuff. And you can listen to us at 8Bits.tv. Everyone have a wonderful day, and we'll see you all next time.